There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
You approach Gal Gadot. You say to Gal Gadot, hey, will you sing the song into your phone?
Right,
and she's
right.
Like, will this help the ugly ones?
Yeah.
And she says, of course, Gal, they need you, Gal. They need you out there. They need you drumming up morale, Gal. There's
of
no
course.
Way they're going to make it through the plague without you, Gal. Oh, my God, Gal, you gained 3 pounds. You're out.
Whoa, that's the fickle world of helping Hollywood. Hey, everyone, welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben Kissel, hanging out with Henry Zebrowski.
We're kind of hanging out.
Every day. You know, we're stuck inside, sure. We're doing our things. We're living our life. We're living our best version of our life that we can legally live right now. Everyday celebrities, they have now come into our phone, Henry. And they
come into my phone. They come into my home. And I don't ask them to come into my home.
No?
They just arrive. They arrive on Instagram. They arrive in various things. Yep. I don't know how. I opened up my bank account the other day and know who's in there?
Who?
Harry Shearer.
What was Harry Shearer doing in there?
He was singing, Wheels Go Round and Round. I think it's from Mary Poppins. Some song from Mary Poppins. It was just in a British accent. And I was like, get out of my bank account, Harry Shearer. And he's just like, things are getting low. And I was like, I am trying to move.
I don't need you telling me how broke I'm becoming because I'm constantly ordering barbecue.
That's fine. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely.
I will say, my you know, what's interesting right now,
mm-hmm.
nothing. Absolutely nothing is interesting.
Sure.
Our lives are completely static.
Great.
All we're doing is sitting and watching television, desperate for material, trying to figure shit out, right? Trying, you know, we want to make the people smile.
Sure.
And you know what? I guess my main thing is, man, I'm shopping for a toilet.
You're shopping for a toilet right now. Do you think that this is the best time to shop for a toilet? Also, do you desperately need a toilet enough to buy one during a pandemic?
We're moving soon.
Uh-huh.
And I have an opportunity, a golden opportunity, to start my bathroom experience again from the bottom up. And I said, yes, we have toilets already in the bathrooms. We have a toilet in the bathroom where we're going to move, right?
A functioning toilet, if you would use it, it would flush.
Yeah, anything can be a
functioning
toilet. A floor can be a functioning toilet, Kissel.
If you're in solitary confinement, yeah.
Yes, and you can tow your dukes
you
down into the drain. Yes, that's what you have
pretend
to
like
do.
You're a college kid in a college kid in the shower while hungover.
Or yeah, Ben Kissel in his apartment in New York when he shat in the shower.
I didn't shit in the shower. Okay, well, I'm very happy that Roundtable is being rediscovered. You can listen to the Mystery Pooper episode of the Roundtable. And also, Henry, you are the only one who has confessed to the crime. I understand that was a little bit of a lark, but nonetheless... You're the only one to say that you did it.
It was a bit.
Okay.
All right?
Continue on.
And legally, if you say it's a bit, then you can't be charged for crimes.
Well, that's what...
Especially if you do something like you kill a man, right? And then his body's in your home, but you happen to have a pizza that have a bunch of like olives and peppers on it. If you put olives and peppers on its face like a smiley face, then it's a bit.
Then it's a bit. Well, perhaps that's what Carol Baskin did to her husband. We'll get into that in a little bit because the Joe Exotic tale continues to unravel as the documentary continues to ripple across not just America, dare I say. The world. So
it is rippling across
toilet,
the thighs and the bellies of America.
When it comes to your toilet, do you want to get a toilet that your feet can dangle on? Because I feel like you would do really well with just a toilet that you have to like hop up on. And then
I was joking about this last night. They have so many options. There's so many different options for how much gallons and shit you want to put in there, right? Whatever you want
to
do.
So what are the kind of options? Because I haven't watched Home Improvement, aka Tool Time, in a long time. Have they come up with the Lazy Boy reclining toilet yet?
No, they were not there yet. The Japanese are very close.
Damn it.
They're very, very close. And this plague has only put obstacles between us and the peaks of toilet technology.
Okay.
But I looked at some super expensive toilets just to look at them. I saw a toilet for $3,000.
What?
A toilet for $3,000. It looks nice. It is. It looks really, really nice. And it's got an air deodorizer and it shoots. It seems to be, I think, pressurized neutralized air
what?
Up into your fucking asshole. This is true. And it neutralizes your farts before going in, like what we did to Saddam Hussein. It what? Goes up into your asshole and it can literally, it like is a antidote to
what?
The farts. I might be lying. I'm not really certain, but it says something about this. You got all these little buttons and knobs in the center of it. There's one that sucks your dick. There's one that does your taxes, as far as I'm concerned. It better.
It
for $3,000.
Oh, my God. For $3,000, I'm just... This is a commode. This is a thing where you excavate human waste. I think $3,000 is too much. I would not pay more than $150. Give me a 10-gallon bucket. I cannot imagine $3,000 on a dumping toilet.
I just need a bidet. I want a bidet now because of this teepee thing, because obviously everybody's dealing with this. There's some of us, and I'm going to put out there, there's a lot of people who suffer from dog bottom.
Dog like bottom. Me,
where you have so many little hairs, like long-lost family members around your butthole, and they want to keep the poops in. They want to keep them in because they're like their family. But they go out anyway, don't they?
They do.
Because if you love something, you gotta let it go. And then it's they're smeared with it. So what I need is the blast hose, but you need one that can connect to possibly to a warm water cycle versus just the tushy mechanism, because now there's just a tushy mechanism,
right.
Which I'm fine with, right? Because my butthole could actually probably use with a splash of cold water now and then to refresh.
I think a
splash of cold water, kind of like what Tony Robbins used to do. He has that sort of like cold water cube that he jumps in and out of. It gives him energy.
Yeah, well, of course, it naturally would. It's absolutely freaking freezing. Your body is going to react to it. But when it comes to your dog butt, first of all, I think that's a great term for a hairy butthole, a hairy Polish man's butthole specifically. Puffin, Wendy, and I'm sure Marcus's dog Georgie goes through dog butt situations all the time. Of course, because they're dogs, they don't have to clean their own butt. We have to clean their butt for them.
Yes.
It's just difficult when you are also the one who is getting the dog butt. That's double dog butt in one house. I agree. Is it possible to get one of these toilets, maybe get a little trimmer, a trimmer attachment where they cut the hairs? Now, do you want to trust a machine to do that, or is that how they take over through the butthole? I don't know.
I'm not giving them that level of trust yet.
Okay.
All right, they have to be able to handle a couple of things first, like taking random information from my Gmail and putting it in my calendar, because I don't keep a calendar because I forget to put the dates in the calendar from the emails when they're sent. If they could do that, that will be fine, but they don't do that yet. But I tell you what, to keep things fresh in our home, yeah, I'm not shaving my beard. I'm trying to see how long I can get my beard to go. I'm going Jack Black with it.
Okay.
But I did give a shaver rooney to my nuts to keep things romantic.
Well, I think that is just absolutely wonderful. You got to shave those nuts. Let the ladies know what they're dealing with.
But if you got a good toilet at home, please reach out. Tell me what the brands are, because I was looking at these. Yeah, exactly. If a toilet costs $3,000, I want to be able to shift it into drive and leave my bathroom with it. That is the only way
it is worth it. I agree. $3,000 is a lot of money.
Believe me, I want to take my butt more seriously, and I think we all should.
Sure.
Because now, especially, think about how valuable your butt is right fucking now. Every day, you're sitting on it.
Sitting on it.
I try to stand a lot of times. Most of the time, I'm working. I'm working from home, and I slide into a position where I'm completely horizontal, and the laptop is just supported by my tits.
Right. And it is a perfect support. And then it's also kind of nice because you know how when people are at their laptop computer or desktop computer, rather, they have the mouse, and then oftentimes they'll get those little gel pads for their wrists. But for Henry and I, we can just use our own tit. And
yeah,
then you can use your own boob, and then that's softer than gel.
The meat above my nipple is perfect to protect me from carpal. And I've been using it, but honestly, if I have to start using carpal gloves, I'm going to lose all respect from my family. I know that I will. Even though, yes, you should be able to take care of yourself. Showing weakness is actually a sign of vulnerability. Vulnerability is strength. But up to a point, if you can't type without injuring yourself just within your own home, just from this brief window of time, I feel like the COVID's just going to find you. I think COVID's just going to find you, and it's going to come in your home like a big nude man. And it's just going to tear apart your family.
And we do have a story about a nude man throwing sausages at someone coming up here later on in the episode. I did have a situation. I was playing Division 2 because they have the expansion pack where you get to go to New York, although it doesn't look like New York at all. There's not one bagel shop. There's no pizza involved. There's no, like, the skyline is not New York skyline.
You get out of my city. You're not going to give me a bagel then.
No, I know. I was a little bit like, this is not the New York that I know and love. But my thumb was starting to hurt, and I did Google gamer thumb, and it was the weakest I've ever felt in my life. And I said, no.
You're a 6'7", 300-pound man looking up gamer thumb.
I was like, do I have gamer thumb? And then as I was looking it up, I said, I am going to bully myself. And I bullied myself, as Eminem talks about in his song Rap God. And I said, I am not going to complain out loud at all about the fact that my thumb, it just sort of hurts like a fat kid who consumes nothing but tater tots and Mountain Dew.
I will say your home looks like what a 12-year-old thinks a businessman lives in.
Okay,
seriously,
hold on a
I have not seen Kissel's home. I've not seen Kissel's home in a couple in like a fucking 8 months. 8 months the last time I was in New York, and I because of when you ripped your couch apart with your bare hands.
Yes,
Kissel. We had a big fun Zoom meeting with all of like various friends. Got together. It was very loud. No one could hear anybody.
I just have to say this: when it comes to Zoom meetings, you have to, it's hard for us because all of our friends are entertainers. I'm going to say for the most part, extremely extroverted, except for maybe a few. We need to start peppering extroverts, introverts, introverts, because our Zoom meeting was just everyone shouting at the same time. And what I realized is when you actually go to a party, people break off into different sections.
It's different sections, and they hang out. They're normally the entire party doesn't hang out face-to-face, 20 people at a time, everybody screaming at each other. And we were trying to have side conversations, but it doesn't work.
No. Nope.
Everybody hears the side conversations.
It doesn't work.
Kissel revealed within his home that now he only has the one recliner in the living room. No other chairs. It is one recliner and
the
TV.
No, that's not true. I got the camping chairs in my office. Forget.
That is absurd. You then have the one recliner in the other room with the 70-inch TV for your video games in the other room. So your main room has the big 70-inch TV. You go to the other room, it has a 70-inch TV with just one recliner just 4 feet closer to it. And you do have a bed, which I really appreciate. But honestly, I was very surprised about how organized your little office was.
My office is very nice. Puffin goes in there.
It's almost like you don't do any work in there.
No, it's not like that because Puffin goes to the bathroom in there, and I pick up a lot of that, and he drinks his water in there, and that's where his food is. Anyway, what I'm saying is, yes, I am living a 12-year-old's dream right now. It's cuffing season, and Puffin has put that little arm, that little wrist bracelet on me, so it's Puffin and I hanging out.
You just got 10 to 25, my friend, of puppy love.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, let's jump into some of the news from this week. Obviously,
let's do some of this shit.
We all get to, and I'm going to say congratulations to all of the listeners of this show. We get to put on our, I heard about Joe Exotic 3 years ago hats,
yes,
which is very cool.
We all get to do that. Which is very cool for now, but for a second it was.
Yes.
And then it was immediately stopped. Because now it's out there. Tiger, Joe Exotic is everywhere. The people have been talking about Tiger King for 2 weeks now. It's almost like it's the only thing going on besides a super plague that anybody could talk about because it is not about the super plague, which is nice.
I agree.
I will say upon finally seeing the sixth episode, I will say they do at the very end remind you, hey, thousands of tigers were abused and murdered during this whole process. So they do make you feel a little bit guilty about the exultation of some of these tiger farm owners at the very end. But in the end, I think we all know all these people are pieces of shit.
Well, interestingly enough, on Kind of Fun, the wrestling podcast this week, we did have a little bit of a crossover because Undertaker, Mark Calloway, you know Undertaker, he's friends with Dr. Antle. Or
of
not friends, but he went to the park.
Well, Doc Antle probably says he's friends with the Undertaker, but I don't think the Undertaker is friends with Doc Antle.
I think Dr. Antle just wanted a bunch of pictures next to tigers, which is where, you know, that is how all of this began. But my first things are, number one, I do not like that people are trying to say that Joe Exotic turned his boyfriends gay. Okay, this is my stance on this.
They didn't become gay for him because they definitely, it's a long walk. That's a long-ass walk to go from... Because, again, it's not like you're sucking the penis of a beautiful man. I mean, not to be anything. To Joe Exotic, I mean, he's a flavor, right? He's a flavor of the human ice cream, right, that's out there. But I'm just saying, if I was going to have an intro to sucking on a penis, my intro probably would be somebody like a Timothy Shamalama Ding Dong. Like that little, like a wayfish kind of a femmy one.
Like,
right?
Timothy,
I don't know.
Oliphant, perhaps. Timothy Oliphant.
He's cool.
He's cool. He's a cool guy. Joe Exotic. He is a special breed. He's business. He's partying in the back and then not quite business in the front. He's looking for work in the front.
He's looking for work. He is. He's got business on his mind in the front.
Yes, he does. But I'm going to say this, and everything I say is out of love. If you are willing to pet a tiger, if you are willing to suck a dick to pet a tiger, that is the gayest thing I've ever heard in my life. And they are.
I don't think so.
I do not believe that Joe Exotic had the unbelievable charisma and charm to change the sexual orientation of these two people in Florida.
You've never been in the eye of the hurricane.
Or in Oklahoma, rather.
You've never been in the moment.
Are you telling me?
Never been in the moment. How I've seen the look. I've seen a weird shade cross your eyes in the night. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. You and Joe Exotic are out there. He's giving you a private tour of all these tigers and stuff. And he's just like, how do you want all this to be the damn thing you've ever known? Why don't you want this to be your entire life?
Yeah.
All you got to do is get on my straw. Like, that's all you got to do. And you're sitting there. You've probably had, what, 19 beers?
Oh, 4 a.m., 30,
like,
yeah.
You can tell me if I fucking, all I got to do is take your little fucking noodle right there and I'm going to put it in my big old mouth, right? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to shoot? Yeah, I could come. I could come in like a minute.
Okay.
I could come in a minute.
You're right.
Like, all right, so I just got to let it steep. I just gotta let it steep in my throat for a minute or so, and then you're just gonna go. And I've eaten horrible shit in my life.
Mouth isn't a French press. I'm gonna let it steep in my mouth.
Let it get in there. I mean, I think that in that moment, you might at least entertain the idea of sucking his penis to see the tigers, but to get married is really difficult. And you know what's even more difficult? It's the photo shoots.
Yes.
It's the photo shoots. That, to me, is when you're really starting to think, man, like, how much do I love these tigers? How much do I love these tigers?
That, to me, is one of the issues that I have when people try to demonize Joe Exotic. Those two men made consensual choices to take those pictures, to fall in love with Joe, all to pet a tiger. Whatever the reason you suck a dick,
whatever
that is totally fine.
But here, I do have an update from John Finley, his second husband. He's got new teeth.
He says
it wasn't because of meth. Here's what he says. He said it was genetic reasons that made him highly susceptible to enjoying meth. But he said that it was genetic reasons why he lost his teeth. Which I had never done heard. Unless your hands are malformed to the point that you can't use a toothbrush. But then some people even use their feet. There's that whole movie where Daniel Day-Lewis painted all those paintings with just his fucking feet.
Yeah.
And he's an actor who had to learn how to do that on his own without losing his hands. Think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you lose your hands. You learn to paint with your feet. That's incredibly difficult.
Right.
What a movement. But think about it. You have the option to paint with your hands. But he, by just the power of money and cameras, he taught himself how to paint with his feet. Just to show people he could do it.
Well, I don't think that Joe Exotic's ex-husband is a world-famous actor. I never heard of having genetic, like,
I don't know.
Like that
we're going to hear it now. Now we're definitely going to hear it.
I don't know.
You do have a genetic disorder where your teeth just fall apart. Please tell me that. But I guess it does make sense. But I don't think that he did it without some methamphetamine. I think it helped.
Yeah. Yeah, it had to quicken the process a little bit.
I think so. And so that was one question. Another one I want to say, this is a quick little update on Joe Exotic. It has now come out that he absolutely does not sing his own songs. Musicians Vince Johnson and Danny Clinton are responsible for these bops, according to menshealth.com, who was actually all over the place. Several different places
Health is stretching a little bit to think that this should be included in their magazine.
They do whatever.
What does this have to do with Men's Health in any way?
They truly just do whatever. And I and if you when I learned from Robert Moore's Twitter account, Robert Moore did the podcast Joe Exotic Tiger King for Wondery that came out like a year ago.
Okay.
And he did a telephone interview with Vince Johnson.
Okay.
When the first thing he comes out of his mouth is being like, tell me how much am I getting paid for talking about Joe Exotic? And he's like, I'm sorry, sir. This doesn't really work like that because we're trying to keep journalistic integrity. We can't really pay you. He's like, I thought you were with GQ. He's like, I did freelance for GQ. I did. And he's like, well, it seemed to me, told me you're from GQ. GQ's got to pay me some GQ money before I start talking about some Joe Exotic. I don't talk to Joe Exotic for free. I've already done enough work for Joe Exotic for free.
Wow.
And then he went and called Joe Exotic a slippery eel.
Whoa. And that's he said that the Joe least Exotic offensive was thing.
Yeah, he said he was a slippery eel, said that he was also waiting for money from his songs. And so they paid Joe Exotic, let's call him Mr. Maldonado Passage.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to see you refer to him in this way for this time period. He went ahead and paid for these songs, or asked for these songs. He commissioned these songs in order to say, I own these songs. They are my songs. I am going to tell the world that I'm singing them. They sort of had one says that they didn't have the agreement to say that Joe Exotic was in fact singing the songs.
Okay.
Another one says it seems to be fairly, seems like they didn't really hammer out those details like they should have. But Joe Exotic, it's just what an interesting psychological experiment to watch him know that is not him singing. And continue to push it as if he's singing. But, you know, it seems to show some sort of distancing from reality.
I completely agree. And, of course, this is the name of the band is the Clinton Johnson Band. It is headed up by Vince Johnson and Danny Clinton. Brilliant two names, actually, for a band. Clinton Johnson sounds very good. Of course, it did get a president in some trouble, didn't it? There, that's kind of fun.
Kissel!
I go there.
Get in your time machine. But why don't you go fucking work for Jay Leno if you're bringing that shit in this house?
Jay Leno is currently doing a live stream where he talks all about the funny dancing of Judge Ito, because that was a great time for American comedy, the dancing Itos.
It was.
So the Clinton Johnson Band, they're not just fine with being E-level celebrities. They want to get paid. So they're going out there. They are talking to the record industry. They're like, hey, I don't even know what record industries exist anymore. Sub Pop. Hey, Sub Pop. We
Do
are
you think
the
they're
men.
Going to Sub Pop Records? Isn't
know.
That the one with like the fucking Pixies on it? And
yeah,
shit?
That's like the cool one. That was like all the punk bands and stuff like that, which I think the Clinton Johnson Band probably could fit in with. I am not going to lie. Here Kitty Kitty is one of the funniest videos I've ever seen.
It's
some
very
of the best
funny.
Music I've ever heard. And Joe Exotic, the only thing that gave it away during the documentary was when he was talking about his ex-husband who had passed away because of an accidental suicide.
No, I know.
And he calls his testicles little chicken nuggets of gold, little nuggets mm-hmm. of gold. But that was the only time where I said Joe Exotic is lip syncing here. And it was a small hint to the fact that perhaps he wasn't the genius behind those songs.
You're just willfully ignorant, but I applaud you continuing the exuberance of your naivete.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Just one thing I want to clarify here. So there was one member that we talked about extensively on last week's episode. It was the staff member that went in, put their arm in a tiger cage, and maybe that tiger ripped off that arm. But
Nonetheless,
they were back a week later because that's how much they love tigers mm-hmm. and Joe Exotic. But evidently, this is a transgender man. Saf is the name. So he goes by the pronouns he, him. And that was just something that was a little bit interesting that the documentary sort of, I guess, didn't really address. But and then the last thing we have is Carole Baskin as the heat. She is the last ravioli sitting under a heat lamp at a cheesy Italian restaurant. It is turning up.
But now we're getting a lot of people, right? Because there are people, some people are saying they're defending Big Cat Rescue. I've seen some people say that she's doing good work. I've had some people listen to Carole Baskin's entire side of her story, saying that, all postulating that her husband or previous husband was suffering from Alzheimer's and don't know what he's doing, which I think is a fucking pile of shit.
Yeah.
But I understand that Big Cat Rescue was doing its best to be legit, but they were still in this world where I don't think anybody gets out clean.
I don't think so either. And when someone has a significant other, a partner, go missing, Usually, then that means that they killed their partner.
It's pretty much always the wife or the husband. And when it's not, it's at least somebody close. Always somebody close, unless they are, because he wasn't that much of a fucking millionaire, and he wasn't well known enough. I mean, I don't know. I'm postulating.
No, he wasn't that rich. I mean, by Big Cat Rescue, maybe he was rich. But the interesting thing that we found out is Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister. He said during an interview that the last dealings we had with Miss Baskins were back in 2011. Evidently, during this meeting, they did offer Carol an opportunity to take a polygraph test. Everyone else agreed, but she declined. So I'm not saying that that makes her guilty, but it does make her concealing something. She's hiding something.
I will say that any good lawyer will tell you to never take a polygraph test.
Very true. That is very
true. You got to listen to your defense attorney. You got to listen to him. Like, yes, it may seem like you're guilty, but to me, that's not what made her make me. That's not what makes me think her guilty. It's her entire life. It's everything she's ever done that makes me think she's guilty.
According to the Sheriff Cronister, again, he says, it almost seems like our investigators at every turn encountered another obstacle. He goes on to say, I'll give you an example. He had two security guards, both of them at the front gate of his property. They interviewed them separately. You have one saying, I haven't seen him, of course, referring to Carol Baskin's now dead husband. I haven't seen him in 6 months. You have another saying, I saw him last week. And these are two people, two individuals that work closely together. So it's an extremely convoluted case that's according to the sheriff. And I'm assuming if you're Carol Baskin now, you probably shouldn't have said yes to the documentary.
Probably not, but she's suing everybody that is around right now. So everyone's getting very litigious. Joe is also suing for $94 million. They're all trying to see what they could do to get out of this because no one is. First of all, Joe Exotic apparently is thrilled with his fame. He's so excited, of course.
Sure.
This is exactly what he's always wanted, was true, these type of eyeballs. All on him, all dissecting, all calling him a hero. He's so, so excited, which is good and bad.
Yeah.
But now they're suing as well. So we'll see how all of this plays out.
We will see. And I said this on the stream last week, but I do want to make this point. Harvey Weinstein got 23 years in prison. He is a serial rapist, a man that should never be out on the streets. Joe Exotic got 22 for being set up by Jeff Lowe, who I think is the worst person in the entire documentary. No matter what you think of Joe Exotic, 22 years is just way too long.
Well,
he needs to get out earlier.
Several attorneys emailed us all saying basically what you see here is that they had a very weak case towards Joe Exotic,
right,
trying to basically say that he, it's very difficult to truly prove that he paid $3,000 to Jeff Lowe's goon to kill Carol Baskin. And so that's why you put all of the real crimes, which is all the animal abuse, on top of it to essentially like show a bunch of videos of malnourished tigers in cages to get the jury against Joe Exotic and then just throw the book at him, which is essentially what they did, which, you know, they get you one way or another.
Yes.
This is what happens in this life. You got to watch your fucking actions because karma is a fucking bitch.
And that karma is named Carol Baskins, apparently.
Yep. Okay. Grim Sleeper is dead. The Grim serial killer, Grim Sleeper serial killer Lonnie Franklin Jr. found dead in a prison cell. This is from NBC News. He was found unresponsive in his cell Saturday night. No one really knows yet. We don't know the reason why he was dead. There's no signs of trauma. So it seems he might have died of a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a nice man. He seems to be, I think it was the pressure of just being alive with the weight of all his crimes. He was a former mechanic and garbage man. To remind you, he was convicted in 2016 of the murders of 9 women and a teenage girl in Los Angeles from 1985 to 2007. He took a break. He took a 12-year break. His Franklin's moniker derived from what authorities believe was a break of more than a decade. He was convicted of murdering 7 women from 1985 to 1988, and the others were killed from 2002 to 2007.
Jeez.
We're waiting for more information to come out about the Grim Sleeper, because there was that documentary series on HBO, which was very interesting. But we want more information before we will begin to do some sort of heavy hitter show on him.
Well,
but
so the Grim Sleeper,
as we will cover it. But now he is out of the mix.
Thank God. No need for him. He it's a good thing that he is gone. And obviously I say those things very, very, very rarely. He was found guilty, as Henry said, 10 counts first degree murder. However, police, when raiding his home, found photos and videos of 180 women. If that means he killed 180 women, or if there's multiple photos of more than one woman, we don't know. But if he is over 100, he would then be the worst serial killer in American history, surpassing Samuel Little.
So who is now the other one, which is also brutal, also came out this year. Again, waiting for more information on that before we approach it. But he apparently was involved in he gang raped. He was part of a gang rape situation when he was in the U.S. Army. This was Lonnie Franklin Jr. And he sort of picked up the idea of taking pictures of his victims from that encounter, where he basically, one of the other guys involved in it, was taking pictures, and something came out in him towards it. So he became a collector of pictures of his victims. So we will find out, because Samuel Little is the one that could draw all the pictures from memory.
Yes.
We also don't know whether or not he's full of shit and just some interesting weaver of tales who's trying to basically monopolize. He's trying to get whatever he can after on this attention. Because what we know from, like, Henry Lee Lucas exaggerating his crimes, or Ted Bundy exaggerating his crimes, essentially you're just trying to fight for either private time in the law offices, in the law library. You're trying to get out. You're trying to have more meetings with lawyers. You're trying to get out of Gen Pop. Or you're just trying to increase your
clout.
You're trying to increase your clout in jail.
Absolutely.
So that you can basically, people be more afraid of you, and there's less opportunities for people to fucking just kill you in your sleep.
And I've asked this question multiple times on Last Podcast on the Left. Why would these people exaggerate? And it's interesting, because prison is an inverse world, where the worse you are, specifically when it comes to murder, that is that's better for you. Obviously, you know, pedophiles, rapists, those are the lowest rung. Murderers are actually treated with relative respect, and most white collar criminals end up having a job, being a jailhouse lawyer, whatever it might be. Basically, if you have the smallest amount of education, you have a position where you help people with their paperwork.
I forgot about this, about how they caught him by finding his pizza, what he was left over from his pizza crusts. They had cops posing as a waiter, and they caught his fucking pizza crusts.
Damn.
They got him. This is, wow. What a reason to finish your pizza. Eat all the crust.
If you're a serial killer in hiding, consume all of your food. He was 67 years old at the cause of his death. He could have been caught a lot earlier, but as we talked about in previous episodes, oftentimes in the poorer communities, these serial killers are allowed to go without anyone
rampant
noticing, because we have people that they target, usually African-American sex workers, which is exactly who he targeted. His neighbors, as a matter of fact, would discuss how they would hear screams coming from the shed. I guess that wasn't enough to get out of bed and go be like, what you doing in there, Mr. Sleeper, Grim Sleeper?
I heard a scream the other day, and I did a look.
Good.
I looked. Then I went back in the house.
Unfortunately. You're a hero. You got the slime squad. You have a lot working out. How is the slime gang, by the way? Any updates? No slime around? Maybe that started the coronavirus.
I mean, I don't know. I've not received a picture of slime in a while, and I keep looking. I've been looking a lot of I've been looking at slime on Instagram.
Okay. Are you forming any idea of what your slime might be?
I think it was some form of heroin junkie slime.
Huh.
Slash throw up. It was something in there. I've had a couple of weird things happen to me in the last 2 days.
Okay.
Honestly. So we are trying to move.
That,
right? And you remember the belt episode. Right. So this is a difficult time to move. It took us a very long process.
It is a horrible time for you to be moving.
But we've been trying to move since November of last year. Right. So it is a thing. So now this is just when it landed. This is just when it's fucking happening. So we're trying to figure it out. The last time we got really close to being able to leave our apartment, that was when that belt incident happened. Right. When I lost my belt.
Where you lost the belt and you found it again.
I didn't lose it, or something happened. Goblins.
The goblins. Yeah.
But I swear to fucking God. Right. We're not going anywhere in the house. We're quarantined.
Yeah.
We're sitting in a house.
But this was pre-quarantine, so we can't blame quarantine for this.
No, now I'm talking about
Right now.
3 days ago.
Okay. Has there been a goblin uptick?
All right. So I go to two places. I go to my home. I come to the studio. So we keep up the level of quality on the show in the studio. And I have disinfected this whole place.
Beautiful.
Howard Hughes could take the tissue boxes off his feet if he came into this studio. He would love it. And so I, you know, where am I going? I was looking for one of our mics. I had to record from home for Side Stories last week.
Yeah.
And I was looking for one of my mics and I couldn't fucking find it anywhere. It's always in the same spot. I have a spot I put it in.
Okay.
Right? Fancy mic. Where the hell have I been? I haven't gone anywhere.
No.
Right? The last time I had it with me was when I was on the road in January when I was recording from Atlanta.
Right. Okay.
So I go look for the mic. Can't fucking find it anywhere. I tear the house apart. I go through. I look where the belt was. I go through the bottom of all my drawers. I go through everything. It is gone. It is so gone. I bought a new mic before they had it. They did the whole fucking the embargo on Amazon deliveries. I bought a new mic. You know, new mic derived.
Uh-huh.
Started working with it. Fucking 2 days ago. I swear to fucking Christ.
Uh huh.
We folded laundry. Folded on top. It was on top of my desk. I leave. I come back. The microphone is sitting on top of the laundry. It is sitting. Like, it looks like it's been jammed into the side of it. And I asked Natalie, did you find the microphone and put it up here? And she's like, no, I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, this was fucking gone. This is a brand new pile of laundry. That microphone is now it's just out. It's just sitting there. It's just another, it looked like somebody went like, hi, hello. Hi, remember me? And to the point, and I didn't want to show Natalie how spooked I was,
right?
Because I'm so strong, I'm so masculine, and she looks to me as being the anchor of our home,
definitely
being
an rational, anchor of the home. That's a good point. Yeah.
Yes, I'm the rock.
Sure. Oh well. Yeah.
The captain.
What? And now we're getting a little. She might be the captain, but you can be the anchor.
I am an anchor.
Okay.
Yes, I'm the chef.
Great.
If we were a boat, I'm the chef of the boat.
That's wonderful.
And she's the beautiful breasts of the mermaid on the front of it.
Well, that might get you in trouble as a chef if you're like, every time she comes in, just wants a chicken parm, and then you're like, yeah, you're the beautiful breasts that want the chicken parm, huh?
That is it. It's like you were listening to a conversation we had in our kitchen. She said, because then she's freaked out, and she's not freaked out about goblins because she still thinks that I'm just stoned all the time. Right?
That was the follow-up, of course. Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm not stoned all the time. And my stone brain ain't that stupid because my stone brain got me this far, huh? Right?
Well, I think we're mostly sober for the show, but okay.
So she got concerned. This is the second time this kind of episode. She's like, because she doesn't get freaked out. She saw that I was freaked out.
Right.
But she wasn't freaked out about goblins. She was like, do you think a man broke into our home and is like waiting for us, BTK style? I say, of course not. But secretly, I go and check every single closet to make sure that she didn't say the ultimate paranoid thought. And I was just like, and then I'm thinking, we've been here. We've been here all day. We're not going fucking anywhere.
Right.
So I did the same thing afterwards, and I said, like, thank you for bringing my microphone back to the sky. And I keep like roaches for this. And what I do is I light up a little roach and I leave it at my cheddar goblin altar to help counter whatever's going on. But that was fucking freaky, dude.
Well, maybe they want a full joint. Maybe they don't want your weed trash, which is what a roach is.
No, roach is a fucking a buoy in a storm.
Mm.
A roach is one of the best things that you can have around. You always keep a pile of roaches because then you can fucking, when things go dry, then you always got like one or two hits. I'm not a fucking junkie. I'm just saying how it works.
I do love that we come from such working class families where I totally understand and I completely agree with you.
Yes.
I had roaches my entire, I have done desperate things with, I've seen a roach
clips.
And I've screamed in joy.
I have I still have my little clips in the day. I have like a weed paraphernalia box that I do. I pick it up and it's fun because it reminds me of Big Lebowski.
Mm-hmm. But let's move on to, I can't say it's more pleasant news, but it does involve poultry. There was a dude.
Oh, yeah, this guy. What are you going to do about this guy? I love the picture of him. There's something about this type of man. They have all the same pictures for all of their social media accounts, which it looks like they're looking down on a bound man.
Yeah.
Right? They're just like looking down on a bound man. They're like, yeah, fresh meat.
Yeah.
There's fresh meat. This is a picture. This comes from crimeonline.com. It says this. I'm not. I hope this is real.
Well, I'm also. Says, I'm reading this article from. I'm reading this article from the U.S. Sun as well. So,
oh wow!
If it's
yes, and
not
I'm looking
real,
at the Clinch County News. This is Clinch County News. Man arrested for sexually assaulting chicken and then making terroristic threats.
All right. So number one, let's just stop this here. First of all. Sexual assault is a way too fancy word of saying fucking a chicken. He fucked a
chicken.
He was making love. No, Henry, you say making love. You say making love, but I don't think making love. I think the only thing you can say here is he's fucking a chicken.
Yes, he was. He fucked this chicken.
So now, so we have the chicken fucking, which is you know straight out of Pink Flamingo, straight out of a John Waters classic. Disgusting,
gotta
not good.
I guess he's got to do it. It's you know it's quarantine.
It's quarantine.
Everybody's reacting different.
No chicken is safe. But then the terroristic threat, to me, the headline, as far as crimes go, it's the terroristic threat is, as a civilian, that to me is more scary. If my neighbor is making a terroristic threat, I'm like, that's not good. If I find out he's fucking a chicken, I say, well, no more chicken for you. And then obviously I would have a distance. But I wouldn't personally feel like he's about to kill me.
Well, okay, so here, like, so this is two separate arrests.
Oh, okay.
A Clinch County man is facing a felony bestiality charge after being caught on video having sex with the chicken.
Ugh.
I don't know where he sent it. I think they said that he posted it to his Facebook account.
Get out,
Reynaldo
no way.
Pineda, he's 69, at Chester Maddox Road address, was charged with bestiality on Tuesday. Right? By the Clinch County Sheriff's Department.
Okay.
I guess he paid bail. I don't know how much bail it is. To be loosed from a bestiality charge. I mean, I'm hoping it's more than $500.
I don't know what bail is, but I know the sentence, if he is convicted, carries a 1 to 5 year. It's 1 to 5 years in prison. So you imagine you show up in prison. We were just talking about the hierarchy.
What are you in for?
I think this guy might get bullied by the pedophiles.
If you say I'm a chicken fucker, I think you'll get a couple of laughs. And they're like, you crazy, man. What do you really do? And he's like, well, I found me the sluttiest chicken in the yard because I knew what I was asking for it because of how it was picking. And the next thing I knew, I was lighting a candle. Chicken didn't even know that it was on a date.
Well,
you might get beat up.
I
honestly think that you might just be kind of a character.
I think you're going to get beat up, but you know what? Personally, I'm very happy that you're here, chicken fucker, because my name is Jared Fogel. I have been a Subway. I was the Subway superstar. Yes, I am in here for doing horrible and thinking horrible things about children, but for the one time, I feel like I have more clout than you in jail. So you're going to have to be my bitch.
Well, all right. If you promise to make clucking noises, I can make anything work.
Unfortunately, that'll make me hungry. So I don't know. By the way, Jared Fogel is just as fat as his cell now.
Yep.
The diet isn't holding.
He's like a goldfish. He's a goldfish. You go to the side of your bowl. So yes. Released for having sex with the chicken. He decided to document it for some reason.
Ugh.
According to Clinch County Sheriff's Department investigator James Smith, it was security camera footage that showed Pineda having sexual intercourse with the chicken.
Oh, my. So this was like a factory farm?
This was somewhere.
Look at all these ladies lined up in a row.
And apparently there is a big run on buying live chickens right now. That's like a big thing during quarantine times. People are buying live chickens. So check its asshole when it arrives at the home. And so he then made a post where he said he was threatening everyone in the town by saying that he was going to shoot them all like dogs and then kill himself. But at least he didn't say, I'm going to treat you all like some of my finest chickens.
Yeah. That's
and go on a town rape.
It sounds much worse. I would rather be shot like a dog than be treated like one of this weird dude's chickens. So the terrorism charge, when he threatened to shoot everyone like dogs and then shoot himself. And I'm going to say this to anyone out there thinking like this, just shoot yourself first. Because no need to risk it. Don't hurt anyone.
If you're going to do that, just do the first thing.
I did have.
But at the same time,
I did have one of those.
Just let him fuck these chickens.
No, Henry, that's not the right solution. How do you think coronavirus started from a fresh farm in Wuhan province? Now all of a sudden you want every chicken fucker on the loose fucking chickens, selling them to Purdue?
I don't know if it was a sexually transmitted disease.
No, it was
they
not.
They either ate bat meat or they ate pig meat tainted by bat shit. We don't know.
But
they weren't
me,
fucking these animals.
Well, first of all, we don't know what happened. But second of all, there is no way that it is healthier to have a society that is having sex with chickens than it is to have a society not having sex with chickens.
I'm saying if it keeps one mass shooting from happening, can we designate and breed certain chickens?
They're not robots.
With tighter assholes.
I don't even think that's the problem. As a matter of fact, that probably is an inhibitor.
Does it kill the chicken?
Oh, yes.
Let me look this up.
No, it definitely kills the chicken. It definitely kills the chicken.
I'm just going to see what pops up when it says,
okay.
Does fucking
we'll see what Google has to say about it. Definitely.
Does fucking chicken kill it? Sex with the chicken. Oh. If chicken butt can accommodate a grade AAA egg, it can expand to fit your dick. That's what it says right up here. Sex with chicken at everything2.com. That's the very first line.
You know what
was that great?
That is interesting. And I'm so happy the web giveth such important information. I guess if your dick looks the same as Jeffrey Epstein's, which my understanding was egg-shaped, then you're
fine. No, we were wrong.
Oh, is it not? Who has the egg
shape? It was Weinstein had the egg shape.
Weinstein has the egg
shape. No, wait, no, I'm flipping it. We were originally wrong. God damn it,
I don't know whose
dick looks like what.
They both have weird ding-dongs.
All I know is I'm not trying to have sex with these chickens, and I don't want the chickens to die. I just don't know if you can. Can you train it up?
No, you cannot train it up. They're chickens. They are basically heads of lettuce with little eyes.
I know. I don't. I guess I'm going to walk back my comments. I guess I'm going to walk them back and say we shouldn't do it. But I, you know, anything that saves a human life.
Right. You know, it is interesting. I totally had a thought. You mentioned mass murder. And I had such an American thought, and I was thinking, so now I, you know, when it comes to the coronavirus deaths, and we'll keep you up to date on all what's going on with that on Abling and Stop At. We have a lot to talk about when it comes to what's going on as our civil liberties are getting eroded by the DOJ, but that's not for this show.
No. You already put me to sleep.
But when it comes to the mass murders, you're right. We're not going to see one during quarantine. There's no one out.
But I wonder, do you think that there might be a slight, this could be a weird time where there's an uptick of serial killer activity? Because people are in quarantine, and if you're not regularly checking up on a group of people like this, people are very vulnerable, and they're literally just sitting in their homes,
right.
And everyone's so afraid to go outside. So if they do hear somebody screaming for help, they might be less likely to go help, and not because they're afraid of the repercussions, but not the murder repercussions.
Right.
They're afraid of the virus repercussions.
I had the exact same idea when it comes to home invasions. I guess that's kind of the theme for the day. But obviously we have someone like a Richard Ramirez, BTK, that would go in, they would scout out the people. Do most people, though, who go into a home, usually it's just there for thievery.
Most of the time, they're there just for thievery, yeah. Very rarely. A lot of times, if they're in there and they kill you, they were going to kill you anyway.
You know what, Henry?
Is that comforting?
I mean, I guess it's better than stealing my belt and misplacing my microphone. Just get it over with. Please kill me, God.
I don't want to die like
that. No, I know. And I don't want you to die like that. Thank God Natalie works out and she will be able to protect you, despite the fact that, yes, you will be the first to approach the murderer. But then once you get knocked down.
I get him tired. The goal is that I tire him. I'm murdered.
Yes.
Natalie cleans up and lives. Because someone has to get. I mean, who will get Wendy to college? Who will drive her to college?
Puppy college is not cheap these days. That is for damn sure. But I heard firsthand account of the first murder that I heard about. I was talking to my friend Ben. He's the bartender at Skinny Dennis. We got to speak through a window as if we were in prison for stealing a whole series of cream
cheese. Bar?
Yes, because our bars are doing to go. Like, our bars are all doing to go cups.
What?
Yeah, which is, I mean, I haven't had any because I'm not drinking it at home. Because I don't want to die of alcohol poisoning. But
you like just go up to the window and just press, being like, I remember when a boy could sit down on on a stool with a beer and a shot.
Yeah, and peanuts.
I remember when. Mm-hmm. And they're like, sir, move along. You're fogging up our windows with your cheese breath.
But I was speaking with Ben through the window. And it really is like that because they have a neighbor who, if there's like more than three people waiting for a beer, she'll just call the police to the point where the police have now showed up and said, if you could tell us who this neighbor is, we will actually arrest her for so many false police reports. But nonetheless, his neighbor, apparently a dude from Trinidad, stabbed his girlfriend to death at 4:30 in the afternoon, called the police that I stabbed my girlfriend to death and was arrested. And that was and that happened last week. That was my first account that I have heard from a from the neighbor, Ben. Again, Skinny Dennis, when it opens, please go support him. Great country bar. But that is my first firsthand hearing of an actual domestic dispute that ended with murder, which it's going to happen.
Natalie's been talking a lot about trying to figure out some sort of benefit, some kind of program, something we could work towards people that are stuck with their abusers right now.
Oh, like, my
truly,
God.
They are stuck in an abusive relationship at home. That's going to be so scary. I, you know, my solution is I was saying, like, go. Then if you are being abused, I mean, this is not really advice, so take this with the grain of he's a comedian. You leave your home, get COVID, try to get it, bring it home. Let him get it or her get it, too, because women can abuse.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let her get it, too. Try to bring him on the inside. Do it like how we did it to the Native Americans.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. It also is very illegal to make yourself a biological weapon. So we'll let's make it a big grain of salt. But nonetheless, it's an idea, Henry, and that's what this show is all about.
All I do is give free ideas. I give free content to, you know, and I just try to. I try to make people better.
All right. Well, yes you do. I want to tell this one really quick story about this naked man.
Okay, yes, please.
So this story, as I mentioned earlier, we have a little tale of a naked man, and I always follow the tale of a naked man.
You do?
I don't want to talk about it. This dude's name is Jalen Clay. He went into a Rocky Top Market, which we've all been there.
What's a Rocky Top Market?
I have no idea, but the name of the market is Rocky Top Market. And he allegedly took a bottle of water and left without paying. So then people were like, what the hell, bro?
Well,
that's not
you do
good.
This. Yeah, you're stealing.
You're stealing. Also, you're stealing like the most boring thing to steal, which is water. It's relatively plentiful.
Yeah, you can get it from a faucet, yes. If you are in desperate need, you can just get it from a faucet, even in a bathroom.
Of course, you can get water somewhere. So witnesses told investigators that Clay, he wasn't happy with just stealing the water. He re-entered the store shortly and began kicking items off the shelf. Again, remember, completely nude. Clay then allegedly punched a woman in the head, and then, to top it all off, the piece de resistance, he just started throwing sausages at the clerk. You know, we're talking about the front lines of people who have to deal with psychos every day.
Clerks, every day.
The last thing you need when you are working as a clerk at the Rocky Top Market is a man naked throwing sausages at you.
You really don't, but at the same time, catch those sausages, that's free food. Because once he tosses them and touches them, I bet you can't resell them. Now you got food, take it home. That's free-ass sausages. And if you're going to be assaulted with something, that is technically, come at me with a sausage.
Are you Jeff Bezos? That's not how you feed your employees, hoping a naked man runs into their store and throws sausages at you.
Look, it's free food.
Evidently, cops, they were able to overwhelm the man, and now he faces charges of assault. No word if that's for punching the woman or for throwing sausages. I'm assuming punching the woman, but then again, maybe the person was very offended by having sausages thrown at him. Also, when it comes to Jeff Bezos, I just mentioned, and I'm going to talk about this more on Able Against Top Ed as well, but did you see all of the Amazon employees? They are going on strike.
Going on strike.
And I am pro strike for Amazon employees. That monster needs to treat them better and not just give them the sausages that are thrown their way.
We have stopped ordering from Amazon until whatever this strike is over.
Great.
So we are going to do that as well. I will say, did they overwhelm him by explaining to him how much New York City needs ventilator masks and they're not getting them?
I don't think that he cares. You know, isn't that the interesting thing? Travis Morningstar, our producer, said that he just recently went into Manhattan. He said it's nothing but National Guard and soldiers there to protect, I guess, and homeless people. So I think this is actually... If you're homeless in New York, and I might be speaking out of turn here, but it seems like they're doing okay.
I'm going to maybe disagree, but I am going to refer to your bit from fucking 12 years ago where you said homeless people. It's more like you're home more.
You're home more because the whole place is your home. And that is a classic quintessential Kissel bit.
If you look back on an album that was never recorded, you would see that bit from 2008. I want to read this story. This is really interesting. If anybody has any of these tales, please send it to me. This comes from charlottestories.com by Scott Jensen.
Ooh.
Flying dinosaur sightings
are
on the rise in North Carolina. North Carolina has been home to legends of Bigfoot, the Lake Norman monster, and lizard men, which is true. Very interesting story.
Okay.
We might even cover some lizard men for cryptids later on. We're going to be doing a lot of weird episodes this summer because we're all sick of all the virus news. So let's fucking get wiggity with it.
Absolutely.
But there's a growing belief that modern pterosaurs living in North Carolina, that they might be there. Pterosaurs are flying reptiles that many scientists believe went extinct a long time ago.
Wow.
Cryptozoologist Jonathan Whitcomb, author of the books Modern Pterosaurs, Searching for Ropens and Finding God. I don't know what ropens are. I don't know what that is. He sent out a press release about these creatures, including new pterodactyl sightings in North Carolina. He commented, "My associates and I believe that these are non-extinct pterosaurs, what many persons would call pterodactyls or flying dinosaurs."
Okay.
Cynthia Lee, who has been studying to become a veterinary technician, reported to Whitcomb an apparent pterosaur that she saw on Thursday, January 4th in Raleigh. She was sure that the flying creature had no feathers, but it did have a long tail with a diamond-shaped bulb at the end of the tail. It also had a head crest. She also spotted the creature last week following Wednesday snow. This is from March 25th, so it's not that long ago.
No.
And Whitcomb also wrote an extensive article on liveterosaurs.com, which you can go to for all your live pterosaurs needs, which includes several additional North Carolina sightings. Listen, in Charlotte, North Carolina, a man and his cousin saw something bring into his mind the word dragon.
Uh-huh.
A man said, "It looked like what I had seen in a Jurassic Park movie." In Asheville, North Carolina, a lady saw a huge black-winged creature fly very low over her car. It had no feathers, but sharp edges to its features. In Jacksonville, North Carolina, an eyewitness saw something huge flying in the sky. It looked like a pale greenish-white and smooth skin. It didn't appear to have any feathers, and it had the tail with the diamond shape at the end.
Wow.
North Carolina is considered by many cryptozoologists to be one of America's seven pterosaur hotspots, which includes California, which I'm going to start looking into here.
Please.
Nevada, Texas, Virginia, you got North Carolina, and Georgia.
Wow.
Matt Cartmell, professor emeritus of evolutionary anthropology at Duke University, said it's not impossible for there to be living pterosaurs today, but it is highly unlikely.
All right. Well,
I can't believe that if there were living pterosaurs in North America, three centuries of naturalists, explorers, farmers, hunters, trappers, and biologists would never have run across a single specimen, living or dead. I'd rank it as being slightly more probable than living unicorns in Raleigh and Durham, but only slightly.
Okay, I don't need your PhD
University fucking bullshit.
Also, my question is, that's three witness accounts plus the main source of the story. That's four accounts. This man is he just said, no one's saying that they found them, but we just have four people saying that they saw something.
Yep.
So he maybe needs to open up his third eye a little bit, and I don't mean the one that you're thinking about. I mean the one on your forehead. And maybe he needs to look into this because it's interesting. Did you see all those pictures of the random flying, what they're calling like a Mothman and stuff like that in Jersey?
Yes, Chicago is also having a run on flying humanoid cases as well.
It's very interesting. Side stories, lpotl@gmail.com. Let us know, is it possible that you can actually have a animal that was extinct come back, or was it ever not extinct? I don't freaking know.
You've been seeing these damn lizards. You tell us. I want to see some lizards.
Absolutely.
Is there a way for us to go? Because that's one thing we can do. We can drive around at least, stay inside your car, looking for lizards.
Dude, this would
be. And if a cop tries to tell you for non-essential business, they try to stop you. In California, they're starting to do that. We're trying to stop cars.
I know.
I'm saying, I'm looking for living pterosaurs. And then I will take my ticket.
Yeah.
And I will pay for it because that is what a cryptozoologist is supposed to do. He is supposed to spend money on things that don't matter.
Or you get pulled over by a police officer who understands that that is quintessential business. That is vital business.
And he hops
business.
In the car with you. And then you and a cop and you guys are driving around. Next thing you know, you got a pilot, especially in LA. If I look for a nice, advantageous, I'm going to say advantageous, forward-thinking police officer that wants to come with me, looking for lizards and an opportunity that I'm going to call it an opportunity
okay.
to join me to, I mean, yes, I'm not going to pay you extra.
No.
We can't pay you out, but you're getting paid an experience.
Yes.
And possibly we can get some kind of sizzle reel out of this.
Absolutely. I think Henry and the cop, we're out, we're investigating. I think that sounds absolutely wonderful. And who knows what's going on out there in this bonkers world. Maybe all these cryptos are out there and they're saying no one's around. We finally get to roam free. Maybe they're all dead. They don't realize, no, most people are in homes. In some cases, evidently having sex with chickens, which are a dinosaur.
He
and
was
that
outside
is an affront.
Of his home. That's yes, he was outside of his home.
He was
isn't
outside,
bestiality?
Right.
Oh, he was outside God. Of his home. My question is it bestiality?
It's a felony.
Yes. No, of course. Yes. I'm not saying that is. But if the animal, like, let's say you're found in a shed.
You want to do this? You're going to go down this road?
Listen, you're found in a shed.
Sure.
Having sex with a real unicorn.
Okay.
It is a formerly folk creature. It's a fake creature, a fantasy creature.
Okay.
Right? Your wife wakes up at the night. You're not in there. You're not in the house.
Sure.
She doesn't know where you're doing. She's supposed to be quarantined. She goes outside in the shed. Your husband's fucking a unicorn. Do you celebrate the discovery of a magical creature first and then say, hey, stop fucking it?
Right.
Or do you immediately arrest him for bestiality? And then I guess you set up that unicorn with a Cameo account.
Yeah, maybe get 50
bucks pictures,
per Cameo.
I'm not certain what you do. Then you send it to science, but if you send the unicorn to science, they're going to cut its fucking dick off. They're going to try to see how its guts work.
Yeah, they're going to kill it. I mean, but then again, your husband is having sex with it. So what's a worse fate? It is cheating. It is cheating. I think if you put your dick inside of any other living creature, it's technically cheating.
So if it's dead, it's fine?
Well, then you have a whole series of
Now I got you legally.
You're the best divorce lawyer I've ever had.
I get a lot. Just me being around, I have a divorce rate of 75%. I help people get divorced by my attitude.
I feel like the idea of a human having sex with an animal is less foreign than actually seeing a unicorn, which has never been seen before. So I think you look at the unicorn, you realize you exit that out and you just look at its head and you're like, holy shit, it's a unicorn. Stop having sex with this. It's a unicorn.
Pan over. Why are you fucking that unicorn?
Exactly.
And he's just like, wouldn't you? I come in that shed and that unicorn's all bent over, even though horses are permanently bent over. Mm. It's all bent over and it's just like, I have a wish in my asshole, Mr. Broward. You're like, how do you know my name?
Right.
You know what I mean? And you don't know that. He's like, I'm trying to help the family.
Well, that completely
this
changes
unicorn
it.
Said, if, this unicorn said, if I can get it pregnant, we get $1 million.
Honestly, maybe that's how you make more unicorns. If the unicorn can talk and it is like telling you to do that and you say, okay, I will comply. I'm a good Southern guy. Then that's a whole nother story. But you do have some splaining to do.
Got some explaining to do.
Well,
there's a story I didn't get to. We're not going to get to it, but I do want to talk about how Bethany Brookshire on at B Brookshire on Twitter did this. Basically, found a whole study about how in the 1930s, this comes from the Stephen Stabber story.
Okay,
a doctor was shooting semen into the butts of women in order to stimulate an immunoresponse to semen to basically do old school like. Birth control by creating an autoimmune response that your body will have to come.
Semen.
He was trying to, and it didn't work.
This was in the 1930s?
In the 1930s. One woman actually, it worked for like a year, it seemed like, where she couldn't get the, I mean, it kept putting more cum in there.
Where was he getting all the cum?
A bunch of guys.
You know, it's strange how medicine has changed over the past 100 years, isn't it? 90
they call
years
it practice
ago.
For a reason.
That is the last thing I ever want my doctor to say. It's called practice for a reason. Well, these are called my testicles with cancer. For a, can you really?
Uh-oh.
Please, God, help me out. Well, speaking of sex and doctors, this is Hero of the Week.
Had to use Henry's back hair for a towel. So now Henry's Hero of the Week.
This week's Hero of the Week goes to medical fetishists, specifically a medical fetish site. A medical fetish site has donated its entire stock of scrubs after being contacted by, quote, desperate health officials. The name of the site is MedFet UK. They were contacted by the National Health Service. They were like, we freaking need your masks. We need your scrubs. And these heroes said yes. They said, we will not come. We will not come for 2 months to help wow. out the greater good, to help out our neighbors. And
so
we
what
talk
are they just,
about heroes.
They just giving them like fucking catheters and like the things that like spread to pussy. What's that called? The little alligator clips that they use in gynecological things?
I think that they kind of do.
A spectrum?
That's my, yeah.
A spectacle is what happens after you use it.
Yes. So this is according to MedFet UK. They said this on Twitter. They said, today we donated our entire stock of disposable scrubs to an NHS hospital. It was just a few sets because we don't carry large stocks, but they were desperate. So we sent them free of charge. In follow-up tweets, they say, when you see someone from the government saying the NHS is getting what it needs, that is a lie. We have been contacted this week by representatives of NHS procurement all over the country trying to source basic protective equipment. They go on to say, when we, a tiny company set up to serve a small section of the kink community, find ourselves being sought out as a last resort supplier to our National Health Service in a time of crisis, something is seriously wrong. In fact, it's scandalous. So thank you so much, MedFet UK, for giving your fetish equipment to the National Health Service because
yes.
they need it. And, you know,
they
we
really
talk
do.
About heroes every day, every week. And these people
and sometimes
are heroic.
They're heroes and sometimes they're not.
Sometimes they're not.
But this time the heroes are heroes.
Now, to be fair, they did give this equipment away begrudgingly. They did say,
but I am of the Kantian ethic system where I don't believe I think a truly good act is one that actually is very annoying.
Yes.
And you don't want to do.
Well, because, you know, it is a small section of the kink community, but that section of the kink community is just as valid as any other section. And they are now saying we will not reach orgasm or as much of an orgasm as we can.
As they could have before.
Your neighbor. So there you
go.
Yeah,
because that's a. Because that's the thing, is that their cums are going to be at like 20%.
Yeah, I mean, there's not going to be anyone wearing scrubs. Maybe they could buy like gloves.
Latex gloves is difficult.
Dishes.
It's difficult right now.
Yeah.
This is a hard time if you had a ventilation mask like fetish.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is a hard time for you.
Well, please, if you do, give it to someone who needs it. And again, this is not for this show, but we got a lot of ventilators not being used all across this country. We got to get a program to get those to the people that need it. But that is one small step in the right direction. Also, a great point being made. The NHS, the National Health Service, you can imagine how awkward that phone call was for them. Because
yes,
you know for a fact,
yes.
Henry, one of those people in a meeting, they'd be like, we need more supplies. We need more scrubs. We need more masks. And just one guy in a with latex on his hands was like,
I've come to the call. I've come to help.
Yes.
No, I haven't had a disease in 9 years thanks to the impenetrable mask I wear.
Or just the one guy that has to raise his hand and be like, so I know a website. I rarely go to it. Be like, hey Harold.
I just heard about it from a friend.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah?
Yeah. It's called drspreadem.com. And he, honestly, he's got a lot of tools we're looking for.
Really?
And as soon as he removes them from some of his patients, I'm certain we can get a hold of them.
Interesting. So I didn't, you're such a clean-cut guy. I didn't really think that you would have a medical fetish, but I guess you never know, huh?
Yeah, you know, yeah, they call it a practice for a reason.
Why are you saying it?
So I want to give you a couple shout outs before I get to. I'm just going to read one letter this week.
Okay.
Number one, got asked to give a shout out to our pizza delivery people.
Absolutely.
People out there delivering food, you got to get it. You're not going to get COVID-19 from a pizza box. And if you are truly afraid, it's such a small possibility, and I mean this, because I'm one of the people who are truly insane as well. You don't got to scrub it down. You got to think about water discipline. This is a really good time for Dune readers. Those of you that are Dune readers, I finally finished book 5 last night. Thank God. I finally finished it. I'm almost done.
How many books are there in Dune?
There are six. There are so much fucking in book 5 at the very end of it. That 13-year-old boy learns orgasm control around page 425, and you watch this woman go, I can't believe how strong his thrusts are. It's very intense. Frank Herbert was so horny. But what I learned is water discipline, right?
Is you get what, the pizza water box. Discipline?
This is important. You don't read the books, you don't know, okay. Right? But when you are in the deep, in the dunes, right, of Arrakis, you have to be very important to watch how much water you're wasting. So you have to make sure your still suit and everything is perfectly set together. You want to make sure you're not getting rid of any excess moisture. You see how as the people upon Arrakis grow more fat on the hog, thanks to their being the center of the melange during the God Emperor era of Arrakis.
Just as you fell asleep when loose. I mildly mentioned Amazon worker rights, I am now officially dozing off.
Yes. But I get to get the pizza box, right? You get it from the man. You can even say, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Like, you know, and they now, right now, for a very brief window of time, it is not insulting.
It's a little
rude, get the box, you take it inside the house, you wash your hands immediately, get a napkin, paper towel slice, tissue slice, open the box, take your spatula, whatever, move all the pizza to a plate, boom, COVID-19 free pizza. You could do whatever the hell it is that you want with it. You can do whatever your food. Eat your food. Then you eat it. I mean, you could fuck it.
You could.
If that man is legally allowed to fuck that chicken and be released,
he's not. It was a felony.
I know.
But yes, pizza is better than a chicken.
All right. So let me read this one letter. I thought it was fun because it kind of reminded me because I've been. This is super spooky.
Okay.
So read this shit because I'm dying for spooky and I already got scared about the shit. My mom's house, the house I lived in from middle school to high school, is super haunted. Right before we moved in, we were told by a neighbor that one of the previous residents had died in the house and that other people had paranormal experiences. Fuck yes, I would love that. Nothing super unusual, mostly just seeing ghostly figures. We started having experiences almost immediately after we moved in. We were also seeing ghostly figures and getting pictures of them, but also having more interactive experiences.
Weird.
One of the frame pictures that my mom had would fly off of things even after moving it around, even when it was right next to other frames. Our basement light kept burning out right after putting in new bulbs. That could be an electrical thing, but who knows? This happened around 4 times in a row until my mom got sick of it and asked the ghost to fucking stop. It hasn't happened since. There was also a piece of our vacuum that my mom had sitting on the dryer in the basement, and it would constantly fly off at people as though someone was throwing it while the dryer was off. My mom constantly was telling me that I needed to stop pacing upstairs at night because I was bothering her, but I was always asleep. And now that she's the only one in the house, she's still hearing the footsteps at night.
Whoa.
Some other things that have happened include getting grabbed in the shower, hearing footsteps go down the stairs, orbs being caught in my mom's security cameras, freezer doors opening and shutting, cupboard doors randomly all open with no one home to open them. In recent years, things have really ramped up, but we have also come to expect it. My stepdad passed away almost 2 years ago, and my sister kept hearing someone say her name. My mom was worried that it was symptoms of a serious mental illness, so naturally decided to contact a medium after my sister saw her doctor. The medium walked into the house and immediately described exactly what was happening without any prior knowledge. She said that the area is extremely spiritually active and there is a spirit attached to the land that is causing almost everything.
Hmm.
According to her, it was a male spirit that just wants to mess with people, but doesn't really want to scare people, so will stop when asked. She did say that my stepdad was trying to talk to my sister and that my sister could hear him, so that explained that part, I guess. The medium has offered to bless the house because she said that the feeling has gotten more heavy and it seems like there are a lot of spirits going in and out. There has been a full-on paranormal investigation done on the house, and we contacted the show Dead Files years ago And they contacted my mom. During the paranormal investigation, the cameras upstairs all shut off at one point and really seemed to freak the people doing the investigation out, so I don't think it was staged. My mom decided she didn't want to be on the show Dead Files because she said they want people to be scared, and we aren't actually scared of what's going on. Quote, unquote, killing my chance at fame.
Oh, I actually think that the Dead Files could use people who aren't scared also. I think that's actually more of an interesting hook when it comes to ghost stories now. It's cool that these people are like, we got a couple of ghosts. They open our cupboards. They play with our vacuum. They throw a mirror picture around, but they're not that bad.
The more people I hear from, the people who have talked about experiencing these things, they talk about it's very personal. It's very difficult to describe to somebody because then people say you're stoned all the time. And you can't, no one trusts
people
you.
People
no
say
one
you're
in you.
Stoned all the time. I don't know if this mom consumes as much edibles and vape and weed as you do, then I would say she's stoned all the time. But I'm assuming she doesn't.
You're right. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, thank you so much for that creepy tale. Please shoot us more of those side stories, lpotl@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. And yes, and we always keep us updated on how you're doing and all of those wonderful things. And we hope to keep you entertained and feeling connected, because that's what we all need right now.
And that's us, man.
That's us.
We are connected.
Because what, you know, all friends have conversations about, is it worse to have sex with a donkey or a talking unicorn or whatever?
We have to. This you got to figure out who your real fucking friends are.
That's a good
point. That's how you figure it out.
Absolutely.
And so guys, what we got going on here? April 7th, books come out. We have a week.
Yes.
Right? Today, this episode is April 1st. I can't imagine the kind of shenanigans that are going on right now. How I read all of those funny emails and tweets from all the companies that are congratulating themselves for selling things to you right now. They're going to be so funny and so with it. I'm so excited to see what they do. But next week, we're selling our book. Did you see the dates have been changed? You're going to get emails how we're going to fix this fucking hullabaloo.
Hullabaloo.
With those of you that were supposed to receive our book while we were on this first section of our tour, but now we're going to figure all that shit out. We got a bunch of stuff. We got a new merch store,
yes.
lastpodcastmerch.com.
Absolutely. Check out the merch site. It's selling like hotcakes, and we will be bringing some larger sizes, some XXX and some.
We're getting larger sizes. Yes. We're getting some more female sizes, yes. All that. Things are a little bit slower than we would like to be, yeah, because everybody's working on a skeleton crew. But we want to remind you that if you buy anything from our merch shop, we're going to give 6.66% of all proceeds to One Fair Wage, yep, for people that had their jobs deleted during this time.
Absolutely. Period. And in August, April is now August. Everything is being delayed this year. But August 2020, we have our dates. You can go to LPO on the, what is it? What's our Instagram there?
At LPOTL, no, at LP on the left.
Yes, check that out on Instagram. They have the dates, and also Ben Kissel 1. I have the dates on my Instagram as well. August 1st, New York. You can see the whole thing. We're starting in New York on the 1st of August, ending in Los Angeles on the 30th, and we're hitting a bunch of towns in between. So we can't wait to see everyone out there. Boston, Philly, Chicago, Nashville, Denver, Lubbock. We'll be all around. So check out those dates. We can't wait till August. We can't wait to see you.
Can't fucking wait to be out of my home. Yes. I'm so excited to see people. I mean, obviously, who fucking knows what's going to happen in August? But we are going to keep trucking. We're just trucking because we don't know how else to do.
Absolutely.
Listen, we are this guy here. Show goes on, my friend. And we doing it.
And as Henry said, April 7th, the last book on the left comes out. We cannot wait for all of you to read it. Henry and I add a couple of funny jokes. Marcus does an amazing job telling you everything you need to know about some of the most heinous people in the world. So go out there, buy the book. We cannot wait for you guys to be entertained during this crazy time. What a great time to start or to re-find your love of reading.
And so get out there and you're going to live. Yeah, you might be stuck inside your home, but Turn your home into a vacation with booze. Turn your home into a vacation. There are a lot of people boozing real hard right now.
Be careful with the booze. That's why I said I'm not drinking at home. Next thing you know, I'm going through a bottle of vodka at night and I end up dying like, you know, Farley or something.
No, it's hard out there, but, you know, live like, you know, set up a little, that's what I've been trying to do. I have my my office hours during the day, but otherwise I'm fine. Very little has changed otherwise. Love your family, because if not, they're going to fucking kill you right now.
Yes.
Reinvest in your family this week. That's your goal.
That's good.
Maybe you fell out of love with them last week. Fall re-in love with them this week.
Sure.
You got to.
You have to.
Have to. You got to do. And then laugh. Laugh at your wife's jokes. Laugh at your husband's jokes. Laugh when your child brings you a picture, even if it doesn't look anything like what they did or what they were trying to do. Support them, because everybody needs a laugh.
Think that in that scenario, though, your child brought you a picture of dead Nana, and then you start laughing at the kid's face, and then they realize they're not an artist, and then they grow up to be Adolf frickin'
fucking Hitler. It's one of those. That's the main reason why we're not having kids, is because of her coming and being like, look, I drew a picture of the tall man who comes in my room at night, Daddy. Ooh. And you have to be like, oh my God, we're setting this fucking house on fire.
What if the tall man is just me and I'm reading her a nice book and then I say bye-bye?
Get out of my daughter's fucking bedroom without – just call us first.
Appropriate. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope everyone is doing all right out there. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
Oh. You're doing great. Sounding fresh.
I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling really good.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.